On this All Saints Sunday, we have already spent some time thinking about those in our lives who've shown us what a good life looks like. Well, this morning's reading from the Gospel of Matthew provides another glimpse into what a good life looks like. So listen carefully as I read this morning's passage, and then let's come back together and figure out how those words might inform the lives we saints in training might lead. Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 through 12. Then Jesus spoke to the crowds and his disciples. The legal experts and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. Therefore, you must take care to do everything they say, but don't do what they do. For they tie together heavy packs that are impossible to carry. They put them on the shoulders of others, but are unwilling to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do to be noticed by others. They make extra wide prayer bands for their arms and long tassels for their clothes. They love to sit in places of honor at banquets and in the synagogues. They love to be greeted with honor in the markets and to be addressed as rabbi. But you shouldn't be called rabbi, because you have one teacher, and all of you are brothers and sisters. Don't call anybody on earth your father, because you have one father, who is heavenly. Don't be called teacher, because Christ is your one teacher. But the one who is greatest among you will be your servant. All who lift themselves up will be brought low, but all who make themselves low will be lifted up. Thus ends the reading. I learned an important lesson about some of the assumptions I make when it comes to defining who it is that qualifies as a saint, who it is that leads the kind of life that Jesus was talking about in this morning's passage from Matthew. For you see, in most instances, I assume that saintly folks are those who lead lives that look a lot like mine. Folks who share the same perspectives that I do. Well, one of my colleagues, by the name of Chris Keating, introduced me to a woman named Candace who challenged those assumptions. Let me tell you a little bit about Candace. Candace was born in the year 1954 in Macomb County, Michigan. After graduating from her local high school, and then community college, she attended Northwood University. After she finished her studies, she then started working in her family's marina business, where she developed a passion for economic matters. Candace had concerns about the way some of the existing policies and regulations affected her local business, so she decided to roll up her sleeves and get involved. She ran for township supervisor at the tender age of 26. And won. Her 12 years of service in that supervisor's position went well, so she decided then to serve in another capacity and run as county treasurer. Once again, Candace won. Things were going very well for her as treasurer, so she decided to take a risk. She decided to run for Secretary of State. Now keep in mind, at that time, no woman had ever won a partisan election in the state of Michigan in their own right. And no one in her party had won that seat in 40 years. So guess what happened? Candace won. After serving as Secretary of State for 2 4-year terms, Candace was by now clearly a rising star. So she did what most rising stars would do. She ran for Congress in 2002. Guess what happened? She won. And she won not only one term, but 7 consecutive terms to the House of Representatives. So as her 7th term in Congress was winding down, Candace had a decision to make about her future. What would she do? Would she run for the U.S. Senate? Would she run for the governor of Michigan? Or would she even cash in her political experience and become a well-paid lobbyist? After all, that's what most folks in her position seem to do. Well, here's where Jesus' words from the Gospel of Matthew proved helpful. Remember those words? The one who is greatest among you will be your servant. And all who make themselves low will be lifted up. So after taking several weeks to consider her options, Candace Miller knew where she was being called to serve. So she went back home, filled out the paperwork, and ran for Macomb County Public Works Commissioner. Guess what happened? Once again, she won. Only this time, her prize was a bit different. She no longer enjoyed the ability to sit in fancy Washington, D.C. meeting rooms, or the ability to use her power and prestige as the only woman from her party to chair a committee in the House of Representatives. No, now her life would look much different. In fact, after winning the election last November, she got a taste of what that new life would look like when, on Christmas Eve, a major sewer line burst and opened a sinkhole in her community the size of a football field. And 2 days later, December 26, that rupture caused millions of gallons of raw sewage to flow into a river that fed into the Great Lakes. So much for power and prestige. So why did she do it? "I'm a hands-on person," she explained. And while recent polls showed that if she wanted to run for governor of Michigan, that she would be her party's first choice, to this day, Candace still declines to do so. For after averting at least one environmental disaster and bringing in a $75 million sewer system upgrade early, under budget, she said simply, "I've got so much happening right here." So why did I use Candace, of all people, as an example on this All Saints Sunday? And what does Candace teach me about this morning's scripture? Well, you see, Candace and I sit on completely different sides of the political aisle. And I'm sure that if you brought up any number of issues, ranging from healthcare to immigration, human rights for LGBTQ people to foreign relations, I'm sure that Candace and I would hold radically different positions. And yet, clearly there is no denying that Candace understands what Jesus' call to serve is all about. So I used Candace as an example because she challenges me and perhaps even challenges you to broaden our definition of who might qualify as a saint. And I used her also because Candace helps me understand a piece of the passage that had always proved troublesome for me. For you see, for years I had never quite understood what Jesus meant when he encouraged us not to call others Rabbi in verse 8, Father in verse 9, or teacher in verse 10. But Candace helped me understand why Jesus might have said that. For you see, Candace helped me realize that the saints in our lives who touch us most are not great in and of themselves. They are great because they are powerful conduits that transmit God's awesome love and grace to us. It is that love and grace that is the truly awesome part. So, on a day when we use laughter and tears to remember all the saints in our lives who have touched us so, let us not forget to pause and take a moment to give thanks to the one who is the ultimate source of what they gave us. Amen.